This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live this night, day of April 2024, live streaming over Speak Free Radio. A disturbing story coming from Hal Turner that Iran may be about to launch an attack. Here we have Syrian president and family evacuated, Iranian attack upon Israel, said likely within hours. Multiple sources, he reports, are indicating that Iran is going to directly initiate a response against Israel in the coming hours. This would be retaliation for Israel bombing the Iranian ambassador's house on the Iranian ambassador's ground in Damascus, Syria, about 10 days ago. Earlier today, the Iranian foreign minister told Syrian President Assad he should evacuate immediately. There are now reports that President Assad, his family, and government have transferred to a bomb shelter during a Russian military base. Israeli television Channel 10 is telling citizens to expect an attack on Tel Aviv. Iranian airspace has allegedly been closed until April 11th. And a sign saying, "I haven't been able to verify this," is marked out, implying he has been able to verify it. Meanwhile, responsible statecraft is reporting Iran says it won't strike Israel if U.S. gets a Gaza ceasefire. If confirmed, Tehran's reported ultimatum gives Biden a chance to prevent escalation to a regional war. Iran has told the United States that it will attack Israel directly unless a Biden admin secures a ceasefire in Gaza, according to an Arab diplomatic source who spoke with Jada Iran. The ultimatum follows an Israeli attack on an Iranian diplomatic facility in Damascus last week. The sources told Jada Iran that a ceasefire could also lead to progress on other aspects of the U.S.-Iran relationship. This comes following mediation by Oman between the U.S. and Iran. The Iranian government has yet to confirm the news, and the Biden admin has flatly denied it. But if true, this suggests some important points, namely that it's clear Iran wants to send to avoid a direct confrontation with Israel, but cannot avoid unless it secures a big win in the region. Iran may suspect a ceasefire already in the offing, allowing it to use that as a pretext to both take credit for ending the war and avoid getting into a shootout with Israel. But significant questions surround such an approach. We have heard for months the ceasefire is close, even if that's what the Iranians believe. Setting this red line forces them to act as if a ceasefire doesn't materialize. If they don't act, then they will lose face twice. First, because Israel struck their consulate to begin with. Second, for having failed to move the U.S. even after threatening to strike Israel. Second, and this is very risky but also rather clever, if the threat compels President Biden to finally put pressure on Israel in order to avoid a regional war, Iran could take some credit for having saved the people of Gaza. And you may recall yesterday I reported that Israel allegedly is withdrawing troops from Gaza, where I think the domestic political pressure has been so enormous, so intense, that it's unavoidable. When we even have Robert Reich calling out to condemn the Biden administration when he's as left as they come, that's very suggestive that Biden's support politically is falling even more significantly. Third, this suggests Iran may have figured out how to target Israel in a way that's proportionate and does not provide Israel with grounds for further escalation. Striking Israeli consulates or embassies in the region carries tremendous political risk. Striking the embassy in Baku, for example, would unravel the very sensitive management of Iranian-Azeri relations in the midst of rising tensions in the Caucasus. This is very interesting stuff. So we'll see if it pans out. I have been concerned with a report that the United States had assured Iran that if we were to attack Israel, the United States, would not intervene, which I believe to be complete baloney, on a par with April Gillespie's assurances to Saddam Hussein that if Iraq were to enter Kuwait in order to straighten out the slant drilling Kuwait had been performing into Iraqi airfields, that the United States wouldn't oppose it, and then slaughtering the Iraqi army on the road as it withdrew. Just grotesque. Meanwhile, we have another, this is a formal notice from Iran that it's going to be launching rockets on April 10th and 11th. This is an international community norm, you know, standard procedure, so that there's no misunderstanding as to what's actually going on. Here, no Trump, that's also no, you know, flight over Iranian airspace, scheduled 2 days ago, active from April 10th to April 11th. Military activity, no further details, will take place in the vicinity of Tehran, and UAVs will be mobilized in the military activity northwest of Yazd. So that's a very standard, so people understand, you know, this isn't a military operation. Meanwhile, Alistair Cook in UNZ, UNZ.com, brutal, chaotic war, norms, convention, and laws of conduct are being erased. I think this is very significant. We stand on the cusp of what might be termed chaotic war. Not a formula used by Israel often in the past to intimidate adversaries. This is different. Israeli reporter Eddie Cohen said in the wake of the attack on the Iranian consulate, "We are very clear that we want to start a war with Iran and Hezbollah. Do you still not understand? Israel wants to drag Iran into a full-scale war in order to be able to strike at Iran's nuclear facilities. Oh, these facilities are beyond American and Israeli reach, buried beneath mountains." Cohen, of course, and of course Israel's military leadership will know that. But Israel, nevertheless, is locking itself into a logic that can only lead to defeat. Iran's nuclear facilities are safe from Israeli assault. The destruction of civilian Iranian infrastructure, which is out in the open, may kill many, but will not, per se, collapse the Iranian state. Very interesting. Meanwhile, NATO's colossal failure to weaken Russia as Ukraine's army was destroyed from Ray McGovern. Let's catch some of what he has to say.
We know after this attack in Russia, this terrorist attack in Russia, in the United States, the officials were talking about that it wasn't Ukrainians who did this, and it was ISIS. With the current information of this attack, with what we've seen so far, what's your take on this attack?
Well, Nima, the good news is that the people, the perpetrators, were apprehended. They are under investigation. And three more, actually, were added to the eight that they had apprehended. And so there will be revelations coming out of their interrogation. I'm told just this morning that the cell phones of several of these people who were involved have been looked at completely now, that there are further indications of affinity, at least, with Ukrainian forces and so forth, and indications that they were headed for Kiev and a warm welcome and honors along with the rest of the money that they were promised. Now, back to the U.S. Knee-jerk, unprecedented disavowal. It wasn't Ukraine. It was ISIS. The question that you raise, of course, is, how could that possibly be, but that the U.S. would know so soon? Of course, the Russians, everyone else would ask the very same question. After all, I think that the death toll is now over 140 people at that concert. Now, I mentioned before that we do sort of evidence, right? So we construct chronologies, and And what we know is that on March the 4th, the U.S. issued a public instruction to U.S. and U.K. citizens, don't go near any big gatherings over the next 48 hours, okay? Because big gatherings like concerts should be avoided, period, end quote. Now, that's how I remember it, at least. That was a public warning, okay? What I gather from other evidence, subsequent reports, is that was the kind of warning that we gave to the Russians. Now, the CIA has told its sources to tell people like Cy Hirsch, if you can believe it, no, we gave the Russians chapter and verse. They blew it. It's Putin's fault. I wonder about that. Even the New York Times had earlier stated, yeah, we gave Russia something, but we deleted some of the major details of the attack. Whom do you believe? It's hard to say. I believe anything in the New York Times, but I prefer their rendition of this to the cockamamie thing from several CIA sources released subsequently. So I'm going on.
Very good, very good. Ray McGovern is saying, actually, in this case, the New York Times got him right, that the U.S. gave this warning to try to exonerate itself and shift responsibility to Russia, but left out key details. Meanwhile, here we have from the Truth Seeker, NATO's attempt to weaken Russia has failed colossally. This is a significant report. Actually, that's part of Ray McGovern's talk, too. Here we get a blunt truth about Ukraine from Colonel McGregor. And I'm having to reconnect. It will take a moment, Terry. But the fact is that NATO's in a very embarrassing position. Very embarrassing position, because the war has been lost. I don't see any way to recoup. And the fact is that NATO forces really are not prepared. They're not in a position to go further here in opposition to Ukraine and Russia. Here we get McGregor, Colonel McGregor, talking about a blunt truth about Ukraine. Listen up.
Actions coming near that are going to be unable to be spun, in a certain sense, maybe similar to how the Afghan war finally came to an end. We spanned that one left and right until finally in August of 2021, the spin met reality and reality won. And I think we're heading towards a similar situation there. To try and unpack this, we have the absolute cream of the crop, Colonel Douglas McGregor, on today to talk about some of these things and to really to kind of take the wheat from the chaff and kind of show you the reality from the spin and explain to you why things are the way they are. Doug, always great to have you on board, former highly decorated combat vet, CEO of Our Country, Our Choice. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, too. But, Doug, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's just jump right into it. There's, as there seemed to be every weekend, there's more fiction running around from the White House, from some of the Pentagon people, and definitely some of those leaders in Europe, as there seems to be this just continued unwillingness or inability, I don't know which it is, to acknowledge what's actually happening on the ground. And what's happening on the ground is that since that failed offensive in 2023 that the Ukraine side had, they kind of held the line for a little while, and then that started going to the west, and it's continuing on up to that point. Let me just real briefly show you and show some of the viewers here some of the things that we're talking about. And you'll see that everywhere you want to look, this is from the Institute for the Study of War And all these areas of orange and yellow you see here represent where Russia has been moving to the west. And you see every map that you want to show, some places it's more, some places it's less, but in every place it continues to show Russian advances, advance after advance after advance, all along the entire line of contact. And as long as that is going to continue on, and really I think it's going to, because there really isn't any rational reason why that's going to stop. All the fundamentals are decisively weighted in Russia's favor. So I know that map doesn't surprise you in the least.
No, although like a lot of people, I think I'm a little surprised that the Russians have continued to move quite as slowly as they have and deliberately. I think that that is in part a function of Vladimir Putin's desire to reach a negotiated settlement with the West, which isn't going to happen. And secondly, I think he continues to worry about losing his own soldiers in unnecessary operations. Remember that this was never, contrary to popular belief, as you pointed out at the beginning, about conquering Ukraine. There's no interest in that at all. And in fact, Putin went into this war with the assumption that by demonstrating the seriousness of it to Moscow, that we would somehow or another come to our senses, abandon this nonsense about incorporating Ukraine into NATO, and negotiate a settlement which would provide for Ukraine's neutrality, at which point in time, I don't think the map would have changed all that much. Now that we've had so much killing and so much bad blood over the last 2 years, I don't think there's going to be much of a negotiation at all. I think the Russians are ultimately going to draw the map they want, and I still think that will include Kharkov and Odessa. And we're seeing these sort of movements forward, but I think more of them have to do with positioning for advantage when the ground is once again firm. The ground is still very muddy. It doesn't support a lot of tracked armored vehicle movement. So I think we're talking about a major offensive all up and down the line that will move west towards the river, probably in mid-May, perhaps the beginning of May. It'll take that long, I'm told, to dry out because they've had so much snow and rain.
Well, as a matter of fact, really completely supporting that view on the Military Summary Channel, one of the best daily updates of what's going on. There was some talk today about what Russia is doing beyond the front lines and onto those very areas you mentioned.
According to different reports, the Russians are planning to establish complete blackout of a significant number of towns in Ukraine. For example, The Economist reported that it wants to make Ukraine's second city unlivable. So the Economist was talking about Kharkiv, but if you ask my opinion, Kharkiv is not the only town that suffers the same problem. Kharkiv, Dnipro, Zaporozhye, Kyiv Rih, Mykolaiv, Odessa, all these towns in the very near future will be cut off.
Yeah, so he's seeming to say the same thing that you are there, that all these things along the line of contact, and there's basically five areas of creeping offensive that Russia has been steadily and methodically moving through, but they've also been simultaneously what looks like to be preparation of the battlefield in the operational depth to prepare those other areas for perhaps a larger operation, which many, I think I saw earlier that the UK open source intelligence said they think that something is coming by May, the June timeframe, a major new strike.
Well, back in 2023, we pointed out, I think, in an earlier conversation, I certainly did, several other people, that the Russians had invested a great deal of resources in building up logistical support structure.
We'll be right back.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Sun, I say it's all right.
Meanwhile, Russia protesting German military buildup in Lithuania. German troops arrive in Lithuania, their first long-term foreign deployment since World War II. Lithuanian leaders held an historic event as Germany Monday began deploying troops in the Baltic country, a NATO member, marking the first time since World War II. German forces will be based outside the country on a long-term basis. You have to ask, what in the world is that all about? Meanwhile, Strategic Culture says NATO, out of desperation, is going to be resorting to false flags, phony attacks. They're going to be used against Russia to justify other attacks against Russia. This, of course, is despicable. But it has a long history, so we want to take this seriously. It's open season for false flag provocation in NATO's proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. Finian Cunningham, this guy is really good. Russia is winning the war now in its third year, and the NATO weapon laundering scam with its neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine is coming apart, so what to do? Only 2 weeks after a terror attack near Moscow that killed 144 civilians, which the Western media roundly attributed to Islamic jihadists and Western governments categorically asserted had nothing to do with the Ukrainian regime and sponsors, there now follows a spate of other false flags. Russia is being accused of dropping chemical weapons on Ukrainian soldiers while also trying to blow up Europe's biggest civilian nuclear power plant. Over the weekend, Western media reports bore the hallmark signs of disinformation campaigns by peddling lame claims that the Russian military was dropping gas grenades on Ukrainian troops. Those were lame. But the attacks on Zaporizhzhia are not. This appears to be a Ukrainian effort, needless to say, which is moving forward, wow, here are the story. It was blocked by reader supported news, which it's very good to see how the left is reporting this. But the IAEA chief has said there were 3 direct hits on the Russian-held Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant reactor, and of course those were by Ukraine. Here we have a report, The Attritional Art of War, Lessons from the Russian War on Ukraine. But here is some of, if the West is serious about the possibility of a great power conflict, it needs to take a look at its capacity to wage a protracted war and to pursue a strategy focused on attrition rather than munitions. Of course, they have neither the troops. We have neither, the West has neither the troops nor the resources, the military equipment to conduct a war. It's all fantasy. Meanwhile, turning back to Israel, no words can do justice to the horrors that people in Gaza are living in. This is from the Israel-Palestine News, day 184. Human rights officials have never seen anything like Gaza. Israel's AI killer Lavender. Israeli army withdraws from a part of Khan Yunus. WCK founder says Israel is in a war against humanity. Cancer-stricken Waleed Dakar dies in Iraq, Israeli prison for medical neglect. Nicaragua takes Germany to world court over arming of Israel. More. The two Israeli actions have misfired, causing Netanyahu to back out. Moon of Alabama and Truth Seeker. Several recent incidents have increased the pressure on Israel to end its war on Gaza. There are serious signs the Israeli government, under pressure from the U.S., is now moving toward an intermediate ceasefire that all sides may be able to live with, at least for a while. The decision to do so, however, has split the Netanyahu government and may well end the coalition supporting it. After 6 months of operations in Gaza, the Israeli government has reached some of its announced aims, neither is Hamas defeated, nor have the hostages been released. There's no viable plan. Who, if not Hamas, will in the future rule Gaza? Israeli settlers who've been living near the Strip and the northern border are still unwilling to return to their homes as the government lacks a plan to guarantee their security. Pressure on the Israeli government comes from several sides. The war has been extremely costly for Israel's economy. The called-up reservists have been missing in their workplaces. A tourism business is down on its knees. Providing for those hundreds of thousands who fled from their homes is costly. Large protests have erupted within Israel, demanding the return of the hostages. International criticism of Israel has risen to unprecedented levels. Several UN resolutions have condemned it for its war crimes in Gaza. The International Court of Justice has ruled against it. Only the support from the United States has allowed Israel to continue, but incidents have jeopardized even that. I'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, this report from Moon of Alabama is extremely important and ties back into that suggestion that there was some sort of agreement between the U.S. and Iran. Get this. Only the support from the United States has allowed Israel to continue, but two recent incidents have jeopardized it. The first was Israel's assassination of seven people who've been working for World Central Kitchen, a U.S.-based charity with good connections to Congress. 40 members of Congress, including Nancy Pelosi, have since spoken out against further unconditional support for Israel. The U.S. government under Joe Biden had to acknowledge that. It finally threatened to end its support for the Israeli government. Following U.S. threats, Israel immediately increased the provision of food to the starving population in Gaza. The defense ministry body that coordinates Israeli activity in Palestinian territory said that 322 aid trucks entered the Gaza Strip on Sunday, the highest one-day total since the beginning of the war. The second game-changing incident was the Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. A hit on any embassy is a serious crime that concerns all governments of the world. Iran would be fully within its right to retaliate for such a strike because that's a sovereign territory of Iran. The U.S. was extremely concerned over this, as any Iranian response might well hit many U.S. installations in the Middle East and could escalate a wider war with severe consequences for all sides. This had to be averted. Iranian media report, and this is one of those over which I've been skeptical, but less so because Moon of Alabama is a very authoritative source. that a deal has been made in negotiation between the U.S. and the U.N. Iran will refrain from a direct attack on Israel if the U.S. guarantees a ceasefire in Gaza. That's very, very striking, very, very significant. Wow. Love it. Meanwhile, the illegal war against the Houthis isn't stopping the Red Sea crisis. The Houthis, really the Yemenis, because they control Yemen. U.S. attacks on Yemen are dangerous and unnecessary. Any real solution starts in Gaza. Because remember, the Houthis have made it clear they're only interdicting shipping going to Israel and will cease if there is a ceasefire. The U.S. is waging an illegal war in Yemen. This is coming from responsible statescraft, where major shipping routes along the country's coastline have been disrupted by ongoing violence in the region. Despite widespread understanding in Washington that U.S. military operations in Yemen violate U.S. law, U.S. officials continue to insist they must continue their military campaign, which they say is necessary to saving time and money on commercial shipping to the Middle East. Well, that's all wrong. Just stop supporting Israel. There will be an end there to the war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Henry Mackow, the Jewish plot to destroy Christian civilization, also published in The Truth Seeker. Here we have Nahum Goldman, founder of the World Jewish Congress, is back in 1915. The historical mission of our world revolution is to rearrange a new culture of humanity, replace the previous social system. The conversion and reorganization of global society requires two essential steps. Firstly, the destruction of the old established order. Secondly, design and imposition of the new. The first stage requires elimination of all frontier borders, nationhood and culture, public policy, ethical barriers, and social definitions. Only then can the destroyed old system element be replaced by the imposed system elements of our new order. The first task of our world revolution is destruction. If we, Henry Mackow writes, we can't defend ourselves and we can't even name the enemy. We face an occult force. Organized Jewry and its minion Freemasonry are dedicated to destroying the civilization. The plandemic was inspired by the satanic doctrine of creative destruction, founded in Kabbal Judaism and Freemasonry. Add the migrant invasion, gender madness, and the gratuitous war in Ukraine, and it's clear that organized Jewry, the Rothschilds, the World Economic Forum, is determined to destroy the West. They require the destruction of the old order, which was dedicated to fulfilling God's will. Then the Great Reset will create a new world order dedicated to serving Satan, hell on earth, Satanism. I wish I could tell you he's got it wrong. I'm only afraid he's got it exactly right. Meanwhile, Brother Nathaniel talks about the three stages of world domination. He's a wonderful guy.
It fits what's happening today, said Henry Ford Sr. He was talking about the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and he saw it unfolding right before his very eyes. As Jewish kids, we were forbidden to read it. But kids find ways to break what's forbidden just to find out why. The book, with so many layers of intrigue, was too much for me as a kid. But today, like Henry Ford, it fits. What crystallizes in my mind about the protocols are the stages of world domination that world Jewry is pursuing. Stage one, control of money. Private Jewish banks in Germany, France, England, Sweden, Switzerland, and last, America, with the Federal Reserve, the Fed, have set up central banks which counterfeit money legally. They are answerable to no one.
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Stage two, control of politicians. This stage has a double module, media and campaign coffer. For example, Illinois Senator Charles Percy, former head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, refused to sign AIPAC's Letter of 76, protesting its reassessment of Middle East policy, which favored Israel over the Palestinians. The Jews got to work to get rid of Percy. The Jewish Un Press did a smear campaign of Percy and propped up the unknown Paul Simon. Simon enjoyed wonderful press, found his campaign coffers filled to the brim by AIPAC and its billionaire sponsors. Percy's honorable career bit the dust. Stage three, destruction of the church. This is a three-pronged attack. First, attack the mores of the church by subverting honorable marriage and instead promote sexual perversion. Rachel Levine is the visual meme the Jewish power gleans that it's okay to distort one's sexual identity and physical attributes. Second, attack the youth through the schools, especially to hate their race, the white race, which historically has opposed Jewish dominance. Third, infiltrate the church with evangelical Israel lovers, an antichrist state, and with partisans of homosexuality. Pull the stages together, control of money, control of politicians, control of the church, and you got a recipe for world domination. The demographics are there. World Jewry runs a tight trading, economic, religious, jurisprudence, and academic network globally. It's not too late to put the brakes on Jewish world domination. I think the noticing has already begun.
Very good, Brother Nathaniel. Meanwhile, U.S. economic decline and the rise of the greater Eurasia is a fact. We have Castro Jr., and yes, Justin Trudeau is the son of Fidel Castro, changes Canada into a communist police state. This is disturbing stuff. Once again, the truth seeker is nailing it. Controlled by such WEF sock puppets, Western governments have gone rogue. Now that life is becoming unaffordable, Westerners are beginning to notice. What is most disturbing about this unprecedented case is that if the prosecution gets its way, all the evidence produced by the state claiming that COVID vaccines are safe and effective will be deemed indisputable, irrefutable, and Dr. Hoff would not be able to defend himself or call extra witnesses. In other words, a Stalinist show trial designed to intimidate all doctors and patients who value medical freedom of choice, right to a fair trial, freedom of speech, and medical ethics are at stake in a case against a doctor in Canada, where the government proceeds by assuming a position, taking for granted, for example, that COVID is okay, that it's good for you, or taking for granted that Sandy Hook was a real mass shooting. And then all else follows from them begging the question by taking it for granted. Meanwhile, we have much more concern about a bridge in Baltimore. Laura Logan has been all over this. It appears to have been a cyber attack taking control of the ship. And those who have seen the footage I showed right off the back showed how the ship took a dramatic turn in order to hit the pillar and bring down the bridge. Meanwhile, in nearly 70% black Baltimore, there are more than 15,000 properties going for a dollar. 100 years ago, Baltimore was 88% white. How much do you think these properties were worth then? A dollar. Are they going to put the illegals in those dollar? No, don't bet your life on it. They want to dump us there. Meanwhile, Trump rakes in $100 million in one night, but Israeli advocate Addison still holds out. Why? Perhaps because Trump refuses to say he's with Israel 100%, saying blowing up buildings doesn't make them look tough. I mean, I'm very relieved to hear this amount of acknowledgement from Trump. This is from Information Liberation. Former President Trump, in an interview Thursday, refused to say he's standing 100% with Israel. He said the state decision to blow up buildings in Gaza doesn't make them look tough. Trump made the comments in an interview with host Hugh Hewitt, who can be seen prominently flying an Israeli flag in his studio. Bad, bad for Hewitt. Good for Trump. No doubt that's why Adelson is holding out. He's been a Trump biggest supporter in the past. He may think Trump isn't completely reliable in relation to Israel. I hope he's right. Meanwhile, Trump releases long-awaited abortion position, says policy should be left to the state. House Republican chair claims, and this is very troubling, Russian propaganda has infiltrated a chunk of the GOP base. No, what's happened is Israeli or Zionist propaganda has infiltrated elements of the Congress. Why would that be surprising? He's got it inverted. Meanwhile, Gateway Pundit reveals Joe Biden's military can't reach its recruiting quotas. After America's embarrassing surrender in Afghanistan, the military under Biden has not been able to match its recruiting goals. During fiscal year 2023, the military services collectively missed recruiting goals by about 41,000 recruits. Meanwhile, the military brass continues to push a culture of pro-DEI lunacy while targeting gays and minorities for promotion. Then this video went viral, showing the military treatment of U.S. Air Force senior airman Lance Castle, a service member who refused a mandatory vaccine. Impressive. Here we got the video. Let's see.
There's one simple thing that anyone can balance their blood sugar every night before they go to bed.
How I relieved my irritated sciatic nerve.
Pretty soon you'll have to work your way through 10 commercials. Here it is.
Take your blame out. Look at what? Are you choosing to be non-compliant?
You get one.
Are you choosing to be non-compliant?
I think they're about to beat the shit out of him. Oh, yeah. This is 5 or 6 brutally beating up a guy who refused to take the vax. Oh, God, this sucks. This sucks.
Stop resisting. You will get tagged.
Just wait.
Stop resisting or you will get tagged.
Angles on.
You hear me? Do not move.
What are they going to do? They're going to shoot him? They're going to vax him? I'll bet you anything. Oh, shit. That looks like what they're doing. This is disgusting. Disgusting.
Use your other arm.
I can't.
Why the hell would anyone go into a military like that that treats its personnel so abusively? Meanwhile, Dwayne The Rock Johnson dumps Joe Biden, admits he regrets having endorsed him in the past. Here we get. With each passing day, more and more Americans continue to sour on Joe Biden, not excluding big-name celebrities who were happy to endorse him in 2020. Fueled by their program hatred of President Donald Trump, many jumped at the opportunity to do whatever they could to help get rid of him in the 2020 election. However, they're now realizing they were lied to and are turning against a dementia-riddled Democrat. One of the biggest names to do so is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who now says he regrets endorsing Biden in the 2020 race and refuses to do so again in 2024. He revealed he's not in any way satisfied with the job Biden has done. Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, the answer is no. Do I believe we're going to go better? I believe that. I'm an optimistic guy. I believe we can get better. But while he thought at the time endorsing Biden was the best decision for him at the time, he now realized it was a mistake. And I'm going to do that again this year? The answer is no. One, and to say he prefers in political belief to himself, suggesting that he's fallen short of endorsing Trump for fear of cancel culture. We'll be right back.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, a half a dozen more stories I'll mention and then discuss one or two in greater detail. Andrew Schultz rips Ben Shapiro after the Candace Owens firing. Candace is fantastic. Ben Shapiro, a propagandist, is not. This is crazy. Fetterman, who may turn out to be a good guy, tears into squatters' rights laws and soft-on-crime policies. In other words, he's ripping the Democrats a new one. I love it. Barack Obama sat on stage in disbelief as this horrible scene played out before his very eyes. I'll return to this. Proposed Orwellian legislation to force COVID vax. We may not be done with the vax. We got to make damn sure we aren't forced to take it. It is the death jab. Have no doubt about it. Fewer Americans want to buy an EV. Even as Biden pushes for the strongest ever climate change rules, the whole EV phenomenon is dead in the water. There are all these EVs on all the car lots in the country that aren't moving. Nobody's buying. They're trying to get rid of them with massive discounts. It's been a disaster. Simple economics. Buyers not being sold this propaganda bullshit have refused to go that route, and, well, they should. Meanwhile, a billion-dollar Pfizer scam for Paxlovid COVID-19 pill at taxpayer-funded. That's going to be another way they want to kill us, put it in a pill? Let me pick up on Fetterman. This is actually good. From Zero Hedge. John Fetterman has blasted the idea of squatters' rights, questioning laws that would allow interlopers on a property to claim ownership over the rightful owner, calling it a case of just breaking the law. Squatter right laws allow any illegal occupying another person's property to claim ownership if they're not evicted after a certain period of time. Also known as adverse possession laws, they're in effect in all 50 states, but enforcement differs significantly. Fetterman, in an interview on April 6th with the New York Post, said he had extensive experience with his laws while he was mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. In some cases, they can come into effect after only 30 days of illegal occupation. It's wild. And if you go away on a long trip for 30 days and someone breaks into your home and suddenly they have rights, this is crazy. Like if somebody stole your car and they held it for 30 days and somehow you don't have any rights and they own the car, good for Fetterman. He may turn out to be a good guy after all. Meanwhile, Barack Obama sat on stage in disbelief as this horrible scene played out before his very eyes. It was pro-Palestinian protesters interrupting a star-studded Biden fundraiser. I love it. Biden attended a fundraiser at Music City Hall, but it was disrupted by pro-Palestinian protesters. Oh, I love it. I'll be back and take your calls.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.